And Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, I picked up a study book written by, the name has completely escaped my memory, which developed the character of Jesus over a period of several weeks. I don't agree with everything that he had written. He's too liberal for me. But it left me with a deep sense that if we are to be imitators of Jesus, then we ought to know more about his character if we're to copy him. Does that make sense? It seems to me that when we so often talk about Jesus, we sort of have this global picture of Jesus and say, well, we're going to be like him. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about his love and maybe some time talking about his miracles and certainly some time talking, significant time talking about a sacrifice. But we never kind of explore, it seems to me, what was the makeup of Jesus as to who he was. Indeed, most people will agree that Jesus is a really great role model. His faith, perseverance, been on holiday too long, generosity, intelligence, his profound love is seen as the best qualities we can have. And nobody would argue with that, at least I don't think so. And the Bible teaches that we are to become like Jesus and we are to take on his character. So over the coming weeks, we're going to explore 12 aspects of his character and how we might best imitate these. And we'll look at we're going to look at, you know, his grace. We're going to look at his anger. Don't tell me you don't get angry. And Jesus got angry. So what's that got to say to us? We're going to look at today. We're going to look at joy. The joy of Jesus. I wonder what picture you have of Jesus. What comes to your mind? Now, I've studied art history. And seriously, religious art hasn't been very complimentary about Jesus. In fact, some of it's downright miserable and destructive. But then it was reflective of the whole history and environment of its own day. And you can see often reflected in art all sorts of things. You know, a lot of art today is very confusing. You know, what does that say about our age? But I want you to allow this image to form in your mind. Allow yourself to create this picture. He is at dinner and he's plainly happy. He is with his friends and he is helping people. And is really happy in his work. So happy that he compares his disciples and himself to a bridal party on an outing. I kind of like that picture, which is a bit difficult to see. But he's there skipping and dancing. And I think Jesus would have done. The image I have of Jesus is quite strong in his humanity, not in his misery. So often as portrayed in art. Joy radiates from him. Even when we think of Jesus' persecution, we find joy. Rejoice in that day, he says, and leap for joy. The fruit of the Spirit, says Paul, includes joy. The challenging question that I face is, does my life radiate real joy that speaks of Jesus? Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So what was the joy that Jesus had? Now, please note this, and this is really important to know. Joy should not be confused with happiness. Joy should not be confused with happiness. They are clearly not the same. Joy is something that is profoundly deep. Some of you heard me say, when I was 21 and riddled with arthritis, my outward circumstances were not happy. But deep within me was this joy that kept on bubbling up and breaking through. Happiness is something very much of the moment and the circumstances. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're not happy. You're grumpy. Wished you hadn't woken up. You know, it's whatever you're feeling like at that time. Joy is something that is far deeper, that finds its place in the midst of all sorts of chaos. I believe in Jesus, his joy came from an absolute surrender and self-sacrifice to his Father. the joy of doing what his Father sent him to do, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, wrote the writer of Hebrews. I delight to do your will, O my God, said the psalmist prophetically. Jesus prayed that our joy will grow and renew itself until it becomes the same joy as he had. A question. Have I allowed Jesus Christ to introduce his joy to me? Living a full and overflowing life does not rest on our health and circumstances or even in being successful in the work God has called us to do, but in knowing the profound love God has for us and his belief in us and the fellowship we have with God the Father. But the first thing that will stop this joy is the subtle irritability caused by thinking too much about our circumstances. Which of course is really easy to do if we're in pain or we've got somebody's got our knickers in a twist or whatever it might be. You know, we can very easily be overwhelmed by the circumstances that we find ourselves. And Jesus said, the cares of this world choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Remember in the parable of the seed being scattered. Mark 4. And before we realize it, what has happened? We're caught up in our worries and our responsibilities. And truly knowing God, joy will be found. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. And you will become the means through which Jesus can pour his life into others. So stop being tied up in yourself and live and let your life be hidden with God, Christ in God, as Paul wrote to the Colossians. A person in such a relationship with God lives a life as natural as breathing. The great mystery is that those who live this way are often unaware of the effect and blessing that they have been to us. You know that, don't you? You meet somebody and they just profoundly affect you. But if you were to ask them, well, did you know that? I'd say, really? Because you see, they know what's going on in their head like you know what's going on in your head. And what you see is not necessarily the same as what's going on in the head. So when someone says, well, actually, you were just so in control. And in your head, there was nothing like the word control that would bear any resemblance to describe you. But that's what they see. And that impacts. That's why so often the joy that can roll up from deep within someone that grows out of our relationship with God, you may not be aware of its impact, but it will in others. It's kind of like, you know, you don't go around saying I'm humble, do you? But you meet humble people. So often some of the character of Jesus is portrayed in its life of another. Not in something that you sort of decide to wear as a badge. In John 15, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Our joy is the joy of Jesus. He said, my joy, not joy like mine. Did you hear that? He said, my joy will be in you, not joy like mine. In other words, there was something going on here, isn't there? Jesus wants to take the joy that he has and place it in you. It is far too easy to see Jesus as a man of sorrows and miss the joy of Jesus. Hebrews 1:9 says, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So you're receiving that? Are you allowing that oil to enter deep within you? The word gladness here means to leap or to jump. Remember when Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, met up with Mary and both of them were carrying their unborn babies? The Bible says the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy in the presence of the Son of God. The word used for leapt here is the same word as for gladness in Hebrews 1:9. So does that mean that when pregnant mothers have their babies leaping within them, that that is gladness? Well, some mums feel glad about it. Others, I've noted, sometimes feel decidedly anything but. Jesus was not a recluse, was he? He performed his first miracle at a wedding when he changed water into wine, and not just a 750 ml bottle either. It's a few gallons of it. He was so full of life that his enemies called him a wine drinker and a glutton, which he wasn't. But there was in him a genuine joy. And this is the joy we are to seek if we want to be like Jesus. For he was alive with joy. True and sustaining joy can only be found in Jesus. It's not found in pleasure or fame, and certainly not in unbelief. One of the central tests of any character is what it takes pleasure in. What then is real joy? Jesus enjoyed nature, friendship, and social life, and so should we. Jesus loved good health and spent much of his time healing broken bodies and minds. Jesus loved the best reading at his disposal. Hebrew Scriptures. Ask yourself, where do I look for my happiness and why? The joy of Jesus does not come and go. It is constant. Jesus says, this joy will remain in you, fixed in you, part of you. Yes, sorrows will come, and at times great sorrow. But the Bible says that God gives us the oil of joy for mourning. That means in the time of mourning, in the time of brokenness, God pours in the oil of his joy. Now there's one Joe Scriven. Does that name mean anybody? Think to anybody? You will by the time I finish telling you. He was from Ireland, and he went from there as a missionary to the Iroquois Indians more than 100 years ago. I don't know how he did this, but he left his fiancée in Ireland. And when she finally set sail, she was killed in a tragic accident. Here was a man who loved God, who had to bury his fiancée with his own hands. A year later, he wrote to his mother the words of a song, which I know that most of you will know. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Extraordinary, isn't it? Consider his circumstances. That's exactly the transforming power of Jesus. Turn our mourning into song. So what's the secret of finding the joy Jesus had? He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Our relationship with Jesus is like that of a branch to a vine. A branch is absolutely and totally dependent upon the vine. When we are fully dependent on him, joy flows. His joy. It is Jesus, the vine that produces fruit. We, the branches, bear the fruit, including joy. Here's how the joy of Jesus becomes part of my character. As I am in union and communion with him, as my life is blended with his life infuses mine, just as the sap flows from the vine into the branch, and the life of Jesus Christ flows into me, and the joy that is in him is now in me. A branch may do some things. It may curl around a post, shed some leaves, bear some fruit, but it has one concern, and that is to stay attached to the vine. You belong to God just as a branch belongs to the vine, and when you start seeing your life in that relationship, you'll find deep within you a miraculous joy, because of the joy of Jesus is flowing out of Jesus and into you. But folks, you've got to spend time with him. You can't just do it on an occasional visit every now and again. But to cultivate the place of prayer and the place in the Word, and allow that to connect you, to be open to all that the Holy Spirit will want to pour as he pours the life of God into you. Jesus spoke of his life even with its persecutions as blessed. That's a happy life. Why? Look at the sources of Jesus' joy. He trusted his Father, his boundless hope for the future, and in his service for people, he knew that he was doing what God had asked him to do. So take the time today to think of where you need strength to strengthen the source of joy and fulfillment in your life. Jesus gives us a great model to draw on. If in his humanity he could do this, then by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, so can we. So what happens when trouble comes? Nobody can escape misfortune, and death must visit us all. So the question is, are all your joys at the mercy of things that may happen to you? Have you any resources of joy that no person and no trouble can take away from you? Jesus had. The sources of his joy were not dependent on people's hostility or the trouble that came. Someday we will need such a reserve of joy as Jesus had in the upper room when he prayed to his Father and said, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So my question for you this morning is this. Do you possess such a reserve, such a source of inner strength and joy? If not, he will gladly give it to you. Ask him. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the joy that you possessed. And we see that this is part of your character that we are to embrace, to accept, to allow fill our lives. Forgive us when we allow the circumstances of our life to so dominate that we lose sight of you, Jesus, and all that you give us. Help us to draw near to you in each day and feed on your life-giving Spirit to renew us from deep within, that your joy would well up, bubble up. And when circumstances take our happiness away, when circumstances shift things, we would look to you and that reserve of joy that you place within us to rise up to give us the strength to face the circumstance and give you glory. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.